This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
The chief aim for us individually is I just want God, at the end of my life, I want God to say, well done. I want God to say, you drew the picture well. I was glorified. I was honored by the way that you related to your husband, to your wife.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, How Do Husbands and Wives Display the Gospel?
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We open up our Bibles together to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're seeking to answer the question, how do husbands and wives display the gospel through their marriage? What a practical question this is. We pray that this message provides you with practical helps as you consider, well, Lord, how might I be a better husband to my wife for your glory? How might I be a better wife to my husband for your glory? You know, Jesus is the center of everything, and he's our shepherd, and he leads us very specifically in all our relationships, but particularly Jesus is interested in the way that we relate to our spouse. At marriage, we made a covenant that God was part of, that God brought two and made those two into one. And he's now interested that that oneness finds practical expression. So let's open up our Bibles together and learn more about that practical expression of oneness in our part so that we might glorify God together.
Have you received Jesus as your Savior, as your shepherd, as the overseer of your soul? And God tells us that it's an easy thing, really. In some ways it's easy, in some ways it's impossible because of our pride. But it's an easy thing to look up and say, God, I have need because I'm a sinner and you're my Savior and I need you to deliver me through Jesus. Would you look to him? If you've never done that, it's important. Even now, you can call out to him as the Holy Spirit would lead you. Here's the truth that for the Christian, though, the chief aim for the God-centered husband and the God-centered wife is the glory of God. That's what we're about. More than, again, our own personal happiness or excitement in a relationship, all those, again, are blessings that can happen when two people walk with the Lord together. But the chief aim for us individually is I just want God, at the end of my life, I want God to say, well done. I want God to say, you drew the picture well. I was glorified. I was honored by the way that you related to your husband, to your wife. So the big questions we ask then, well, how can I positively influence my spouse to live his or her life for the glory of God? I want them to be worshipers too. I want to communicate God's grace to them. How can I be a good influence? Here we first want to talk, because Peter does, we'll first talk about wives. How can wives be a godly influence on their husbands? The ways of the influential, God-centered wife. So verse 1 and 2 begin that instruction. He says, well, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some don't obey the word. Now, that person might be a believer, it might just be a disobedient believer. But if you have a husband who either habitually or sporadically is in this condition where there's times in their life where they don't obey the word, or maybe their whole life is not obeying the word, they're walking away from, and you say, I really would love for them to be a person who knows God and obeys him. I really want to do that. And you say, well, how can I influence this person, leading them to Christ? Here's what God says. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won. It's not a guarantee, but this is the greatest influence we can have. They may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see their respectful and pure conduct. So he asked the question, well, wives, is it right for you to desire to change your husband? Is that right for you to desire to change your husband? And the answer to that is, it depends. Why do you want to change your husband? If you say, well, honestly, I just want him to do what I want him to do because it irritates me when he does it. Well, that would be a selfish desire to change your husband for your own personal peace and happiness. But if you say, no, I want my husband to experience the joy of knowing God and the joy of making God, Christ, known to this world, I want that for him, then it is a holy desire a righteous desire for you to seek a change in your husband's life and want to be an influence in that. Now, the truth is that no one can change anyone else. The kind of change we're talking about, which is at the very center of our life, it's a soul kind of change, it's a spirit kind of change, can only be accomplished by the power, the supernatural power of God working through His Holy Spirit in a man or in a woman. But God says, wives, I can use you. You can be my tool in working in this husband's life to bring them closer, knowing God, proclaiming Him in all of His greatness and glory. But how? How would I do that? And here God says, well, I want to give you some really clear instructions. He says, it's not going to be through your words primarily. It's primarily going to be through the way that you live in front of Him. It's going to be through your conduct. And notice those words, without a word, by the conduct of their lives. Now, without a word, of course, doesn't mean that wives never talked about Christ to their unbelieving husbands. But it does mean that wives, when we seek a change toward godliness in husbands, that you're not to rely on forceful argument, bold preaching, nagging persuasion to accomplish that goal. Those things don't work. In fact, they can hinder God's work of grace. The principle we learn is the most persuasive instrument a wife possesses to spiritually impact her husband is her respectful and pure conduct. So God shares your goal of transformation, and He's working invisibly inside your husband's heart, even when you can't see Him do that. And I know that might be really kind of strange to think that He would do that when you can't see it. It might be even unbelievable that there's any work going on, but if you're praying that God would do that for him, you can rest assured God's answering that prayer. He is working. He's at work in your husband's life. He's speaking directly to your husband. Now, the natural inclination when we want to win someone over to some position is for us to use words as our main weapons. We think, well, the reason why the other person doesn't think like us and act like us is because they haven't listened to our words. If we can just put these words in front of them, then they would see the logic. They'd see the reasonableness of our cause. And so we bombard them with words to convince them of their error. And what God says is this actually keeps us from reaching our goal of being influential. Again, spiritual change is God's business. And God says, don't try to create spiritual change in your husband through your words. Your words will actually drown out my words. I'm speaking, and just trust me that when they see the behavior that's pure, gentle, godly responsiveness, that becomes a megaphone for my voice to speak into their hearts. God is asking you to trust Him, to trust that He will speak more forcefully through your conduct than through your words. What kind of conduct does He talk about? Well, verse 1, He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. There's the dreaded S word. Other translations say, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. The word submit is so offensive to our 21st century ears. Our world doesn't want to think of any differences between genders, none at all, really, but particularly in relationship to marriage, the role of the husband, the role of the wife. And so this word, be submissive, it sounds like fingers just scratching against a chalkboard. And so He wants us to know that this word, it's a precious word. It's countercultural, it's counterintuitive to our own flesh, but it's a powerful means. It's a word of loving service. It means to voluntarily yield yourself to the leadership of another person. The opposite of being submissive is self-will, self-direction, self-assertion. Let me read from John Piper, one of my favorite pastors. I think he wrote so well to describe this. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. It's the disposition to follow a husband's authority and an inclination to yield to his leadership. It's an attitude that says, I delight for you to take the initiative in the family. I'm glad when you take responsibility for things and when you lead with love. I don't flourish in a relationship when you're passive. And then I have to make sure that the family works. It grieves me when you venture into sinful acts and want to take me with you. You know I can't do that. So submission doesn't mean you venture into sin with your husband. I have no desire to resist you. On the contrary, I flourish most when I can respond creatively and joyfully to your lead, to your initiative. but I can't follow you into sin. As much as I love to honor your leadership in our marriage, Christ is my king. That's submission. It's a beautiful description, I believe. Now, again, there's no biblical correlation between inferiority and submission, and we have to affirm even here, almost every time we talk about this, because it's so contrary to the culture, that many, many, many people who say they're Christians have turned God's call for a wife's submission into an excuse for abuse, and that's wrong. Submission doesn't mean that a wife always agrees with her husband. Submission doesn't mean that a wife has no strength without her husband. Submission certainly doesn't mean that she would cower in fear of her husband. Submission doesn't mean that every move of a wife is controlled by her husband. So we have to say what it's not. But it is a responsiveness. Second commitment that's beautiful and that's influential is respectful and pure conduct. Look at verse 2. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. Respectful conduct refers to the wife's heart attitude of esteem given to her husband. She is responding to him in a way that says, I want to honor you as my husband. And without driving further into that, I would just encourage you wives, if you're wondering what practically can I do, is sometime today, take a few moments and say, can I ask you a question? Say, what one way might I honor you this week that would give you great joy? And then just sit back and let me listen. I want to hear from you. I want to honor you. I really do. What one way might I honor you this week that would give you great joy? Let's see what comes from that discussion. A third commitment, submission, and then pure and respectful conduct. There's a gentle quietness. He says in verse 3 and 4, don't let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, putting on of gold jewelry, wearing of clothes, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. So Peter is calling wives to focus upon the internal spiritual beauty that God designed them to have, to nourish that inner world. He's not calling wives to be unattractive. Physical beauty is great, but it's fleeting, it's secondary. He's calling wives to take time to nurture and to adorn yourself with this spiritual beauty. And the spiritual beauty relates to gentleness. It relates to, it's that word gentle, a quiet spirit, is used in Greek literature of a wild horse that is brought under control, become tamed, and then is able to be a joy to everyone, the joy to the family. When that horse is wild, it's not able to be a joy to anyone. It's just independent, it's just out there, it's on its own. But here, in other words, it's strength. Being gentle doesn't mean you lose your strength. It means it's strength, but it's under control. It's strength that's focused. It's not the kind of strength that's jumping all over the place without any focus, without any goal that can be achieved. And so Jesus uses this word of himself. So again, it's not a weak word to say, hey, just be weak, weak, weak. But rather, it's a word that says, be strong, but have the strength that's under the control of God's Spirit. Now, here's what Jesus says when he uses this word. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. That's what Jesus says of himself. He exalts in gentleness and lowly of heart. And he says, then you'll find rest for your soul. But here's Peter's point. A wife will impact the heart of her husband primarily through her inner beauty. It's a kind of beauty which is very, very precious to God. It's imperishable. And I love that word, imperishable. Do you know it's possible? Wives, do you know it's possible for you to be more beautiful at 90 than you were at 19? Without that eternal perspective, it gets really discouraging because our outer person is just decaying. But it's possible, and in fact, it's the promise of the Christian life that you'll be more beautiful at 90 than you were at 19. Now, the ways of an influential, God-centered husband. And I'm going to take a few moments here. So verse 7, I want to get to the husbands. Live with your wives in an understanding way, and show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Two initiatives to make marriage something that proclaims the grace of God in Jesus for the husband. First initiative, he says, you've got to live with your wives in an understanding way. Understand your wife. And the second is, you got to show her honor. Take the initiative to honor your wife and to show her honor. Even if she's physically weaker than you, you don't use that to triumph over her, but you use that as a means by which you honor her. She is that wonderful piece of fine china versus the tin cup The fine china is more delicate, but the tin cup should honor that fine piece of china because of the delicateness of that physical structure. It's not less than in quality. It's not less than in preciousness. It's different, but honor that. Take care of that you don't break her with your physical strength. So understand your wife. And hey, our wives are very complex people, and they're very different from us. Not even going to ask for an amen. I just know that's true. And God says when we marry and he provides us with a wife, he enrolls us in an advanced degree program. It's a PhD program called Understanding Your Wife. And we are enrolled in a classroom every moment of every day. God says, you're in school now. It's time for you to grow in understanding every day. Understanding you don't possess right now. Here's the syllabus. I'm going to give you homework and exams along the way. Be diligent in your studies. The principle we learn is that understanding our wife is central to a God-pleasing life. Central to a God-pleasing life. We can't live a God-pleasing life without pursuing this. This is central. This is sort of just a key, number one step to living a God-pleasing life for a husband. He says so that your prayers won't be hindered. In other words, God loves to listen to the prayers of a man who understands his wife and who honors her. That's what he's saying. So perhaps you say, okay, I accept that call. I commit myself to living with my wife in an understanding way. How do I do that? You know, do you have a book? Do you have some tapes? Do you have some conference for you to go? And I would say, yes, all those things have been helpful to me. I've read dozens and dozens of books. I've gone to conferences. I've listened to tapes. All are helpful. All are helpful. But the key resource that God gives us is a resource that people in Peter's day had, right? So you don't need the newest, latest book describing the differences between men and women to understand your wife, because they didn't have that back in the first century. And it was possible for them to live it out. So what resource do we have in order to grow and learn and ultimately get this degree in understanding our wife? Answer, original research. Original research. What does that mean? You have your wife every day who is a library of information. You just have to learn how to read her. You have to go with the right kind of questions. You have to go with ears ready to listen and to learn. But you have a library right there every day. You wake up, when you go to bed, all through the day for you to learn so that you might understand your wife. And many husbands don't open those pages, let alone peruse, study the contents. One study reported the average married couple spends 26 minutes a week in serious, significant conversation. There's no way you're going to get your PhD by studying 21 minutes a week. No way. So what do we need to do? Well, as men, we need to turn off whatever is grabbed our attention. It might be a football game. It might be a workshop project. It might be golf clubs. It might be a computer. It might be setting a fishing pole in the closet. But some ways we have to get to study, and we have all that we need right there in front of us if we just simply come with humility, an eagerness, and a listening ear. Some of you are sitting there and say, I already got this. I'm awesome, and I understand my wife really well. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment. That might be true. Praise God if it is. Praise God if it is. It might be true. I still believe you have some ways to grow. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do by practice. Ask some questions within the next 2 days. And again, I encourage the next 2 days, because if you don't do it, 2 days, you're not going to do it. But here's some questions I would encourage you to ask. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well would you say I understand you? What do you wish I understood more about you? Just ask that question. Just sit back and listen. Now, again, the answer might begin to start triggering some defensiveness, like, listen to the answer. I already know that. Hey, just listen. She doesn't know you know that. That means you're not living with her in an understanding way if she doesn't know you understand. Does that make sense? So just listen. Slow down. Don't argue. Don't tell her why her view is unfair. Don't try to enlighten her that you really do understand. Okay. Just simply ask the questions and listen. Second, ask the question, what makes you feel most joyful as my wife? So what am I doing well? Third, if I put away one thing to strengthen our marriage, what would you desire? So if I made one sacrifice this week, cut one thing out in order to focus on you, to understand you and honor you. Finally, if I added one thing to strengthen our marriage, so one thing to put away, one thing to do, to add, what would that be? Ask her and then jot down her answers on a paper and pray over them. And then he says not only to understand but to honor her. It means to lift her up, respect her, hold her in the highest of esteem. And that's more than a show, isn't it? If you don't honor your wife in your heart, like really honor her, like say, I really do esteem my wife, you can't put a display on it. It just won't communicate. Just as a message from a pastor to you, if this is stuff that I say, I really don't believe this, but I'm, you know, it's my job, I'm supposed to tell you this stuff, then you'd listen, you'd say, something's missing here. In order to communicate a truth, you have to believe it. You have to embrace it. And so in order to communicate honor to your wife, you have to embrace the honor. Say, I really do honor her in my heart, and then I'm looking for ways to honor her. So let's honor her spiritually. Let's honor her physically. Let's honor her emotionally. Look for ways to honor her in those areas. I want to close just with verse 8 because this is the heart of a God-centered husband and wife now. And now he kind of sums up. He says, okay, do we want to really glorify God in our lives and all of our relationships? He says, finally, all of you. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to people who are under human government. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to people who are in workplaces that are really hard. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to wives who have husbands that often act in disobedience to God's word. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to husbands and how they relate to their wives. And he says, finally, all of you. He says, this is just across the board. Here's your heart. You have to just ask, are these things pressed in our heart? Have unity of mind. In other words, I really want to be joined together by Christ in relationship with others. Have sympathy. In other words, I want to recognize that other people are going through some hard stuff, and maybe that's why they're being difficult. I want to have sympathy. I want to have brotherly love. It's the kind of love that says, I'm going to endure. I'm not going to stop being your brother just because you hurt me. I have brotherly love. It's the kind of love of family that just is solid and works through stuff and just doesn't quit, that perseveres. Brotherly love. And he says, and have a tender heart. Man, I'm when you hurt, I hurt. And have a humble mind. Lord, I recognize I'm a mess up. I'm more of a mess up than anyone else. And I need your grace. And if I need your grace, others need your grace too. So make me an instrument of your grace.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray for you. We pray that God would use this radio ministry of teaching His Word to encourage your soul, to strengthen you in faith, and to build a kind of life that reflects His glory in every way, that you would know Christ Jesus more and more as a result of listening to His Word. So it's our joy to be able to present this ministry, and we pray that it would have its right good effect upon your lives. We want to encourage you now, too, through this series on marriage, to continue to enter deeper into God's call for you as a husband, as a wife. We want to offer you a free gift from our radio ministry entitled When Sinners Say I Do by Dave Harvey. It's one of the books that I give to young men and young women as they prepare to enter into marriage. But it's really a book that can be used for those who have been married for many, many years. It simply teaches us how we might make the gospel of Jesus Christ central to our relationship in our home. So if you'd like that, please contact us. It would be our joy to send that to you. May God bless you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.